back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Hines along with Vince Farrar. We are pleased now to be joined by Rob Lewis of BallQuest.com. Rob, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Jimmy. You just want to get right into the Vanderbilt game?
Yeah. What did you think about that 20-point win? Your thoughts on the what transpired today?
Well, I mean, Jimmy, given the way that, you know, they've been dragging their feet on making an announcement one way or another, the fact that there's been, you know, internal investigation on campus for, you know, 2 months now, I can't say that I'm not surprised at the least that, you know, Jeremy Pruitt finds himself out of a job. I am surprised that kind of, I guess, the depth that it sounded like, you know, when you talk about it, two assistant coaches and I guess a total of nine people being terminated today. That, I guess, the breadth of it is what surprised me.
Yeah, me too. And then I saw where Pruitt's going to have an opportunity to address his team. He needs to notify them, I guess, by tonight as to whether he does that. I just asked this of Jerry Punch, and I didn't. I wish I'd have had more time to ask questions today. Don't you think they have to give Kevin Steele the authority right now to hire assistant coaches and to extend the current staff members if he so desires? I don't think you can wait to hire an AD, then a head coach, to do that, do you?
Well, I mean, Jimmy, I was just talking about this with someone else, and I just think it's a real complicated mess because if you give him free hand to make these kind of hires, I mean, how much of an obstacle is that going to be to bring in a new coach when you know you're tied his hands on what he could do to assemble his own staff at a job where, you know, he's going to be coming in and facing a lot of obstacles. You know, I see where you're coming from. Yes, I mean, I think in order to get ready for spring practice, in order to start building some continuity, you'd like to do that, but at the same time, I think that really would make it an unattractive job for somebody that was wanting to bring his own guys with him. I mean, I think it's a real conundrum.
That's why I think Steele may be the acting head coach this fall. What
I
odds do you give that?
Surprise me. I think that's a pretty fair chance that happens, given that, I mean, unless you have your athletic director, you know, lined up and you're going to get that done this week, you know, how likely is that to happen? And then you really start pushing to get a coach in place. Now, if it's somebody like John Gilbert, who's, you know, been here at Tennessee, was here for 5 years with Dave Hart, knows the lay of the land, and you feel comfortable with that, then maybe it does get done quickly. But if you're going to have a real, you know, concentrated, you know, true national search, then I don't think that it gets wrapped up, you know, this week, certainly, by any stretch of the imagination. But I think John Gilbert would be a viable candidate, I mean, because of his experience with Tennessee. He, you know, he has a son who's a walk-on of the basketball team that's a freshman. He has dealt with, you know, all the, you know, the boosters and the money people extensively that he would be dealing with as athletic director here. But if it's not him, you know, if it's not just somebody that you feel good about, that you know, and you really are going to go in depth to do a search, then I think it could be several weeks before, you know, you have a football coach in place.
Yeah, that could be, and I would strongly endorse John Gilbert. But I'd also say this, if you're hiring John Gilbert, what do you need a search firm for? So, anyway, my two cents.
Exactly. Yeah. Why are you paying $120,000 for a search firm if you go to the,
yeah, you know, that'd be wasted money. Okay, let's go to David. David, you're on with Rob Lewis.
Hey there, guys. Great show. Listen, there's a lot of talk about the health of the patient. You know, patients on the table right now, UT football. But there's never been in my lifetime, and I'm 62 years of age, any discussion regarding the disease that affects the patient, nor the cure of the disease. What am I referring to? The boosters. The Haslams and this other cabal of the founder of Dish Networks, Anderson Media Corporation, and Denark Construction. These two clans are at war with each other. I could define it as the Hatfields versus the Haslams. And you and the media, Jimmy, and the folks that have been up there for a long, long time that I've listened to for decades, don't talk about this influence enough, and I'm curious as to why not.
Well, what do you want us to say? That we think that they're wrong to be supporters? That you think they're at odds? What would you expect somebody to say?
Helen Keller can see what's going on, Jimmy. Let's take the 2008 termination of David Hart when he left and Phil Fulmer was on the hiring block to be brought in, and the final interview for Fulmer was conducted at the governor's mansion with a Big Jim, Bill Haslam, the governor at the time.
Did you mean 2000? You said 2008. What are you talking about? 2018?
I'm talking about when David Hart left as AD, and there was a replacement being considered.
Okay.
Yes, when David Hart left the university, and Fulmer was a candidate for hire at the time. I found it odd that in those days that the final interview with Fulmer was conducted at the governor's mansion, not on the UT campus. And there is just a lot of politics going on behind the scenes that continually creates or contributes to this confusion that everyone here in the unwashed masses scratches their head at. Like, what in the hell is going on and why so long? Well, in my opinion, I could be wrong. You can correct me, Jimmy. You're a grizzled veteran up there. Is that we have contention between these two cabals, Charles Ergen and Charlie Anderson and Raja Gibran, who's a graduate up there at UT that runs Denark Construction. Those folks like Fulmer and have worked with him versus the Haslams, Big Jim, Bill, Jimmy, and Peyton Manning, as I understand it, he's part of that cabal that work with the chancellors like Beverly Davenport and now Ms. Plowman. To affect change, the point I'm trying to say, and I'm not doing a good job, is that UT's hiring and firing no one. The people who are doing the hiring and the firing are the Haslams, and when they're writing checks for $30+ million up there, some of the largest checks in the history of the university, they have more influence than they deserve. In fact, Phil Fulmer said, what, about 3 years ago when he was brought on board as the AD, he said he knew where the bad people were, and that's all he said, but I think I know what he's referring to because, in my opinion, the Haslams aren't on Phil Fulmer's side, and that's what's contributing to the nebulousness and cryptic management of our football program. And I just wish the media would interview some of these people besides of talking about what's obvious. That is, get behind the orange curtain and talk about this disease rather than the patient in and of itself.
Okay.
Thanks,
I'll
guys.
Acknowledge
Cheers.
That I do think – thanks, David. I'll acknowledge I think that Tennessee is dysfunctional, and I think that – there are different factions of boosters that have differing opinions, whether it's the ones you mentioned, maybe it's Larry Pratt, maybe it's somebody else. I think there are a number of them that have differing opinions on what is best for the University of Tennessee. Now, how much of that's led to the how much of that's led to this quagmire they're in, I don't know. Rob, you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll just say the reason, you know, you don't see media coverage of it. I mean, none of these people are going to go on the record and tell
That's
you,
right.
you know, what's taking place or who said what or you know, who thinks this or that. And I would also say that, you know, I think it's that way that programs like this all over the country, it's a real challenge for the administration to get people moving in the same direction. But, you know, when you have people that are writing huge checks, you know, building buildings and, you know, making those kind of donations, they're going to expect to have say in the matters. And, you know, I think, and I don't know anything about the Texas situation, but you certainly hear stories about, you know, that's a huge problem at Texas. One of the reasons that, you know, their athletic department, despite, you know, having more money than anybody in the country, is, you know, struggles to put a good product on the field. But yeah, I mean, yeah. I think that's a challenge anywhere at this level. You're talking about this kind of money. These kind of people that have influence is getting everybody on board in the same way. And I also see this, that winning makes all that stuff go away.
Yeah. Let's go to Dwayne. Dwayne Young with Rob Lewitt.
Yes, I was just kind of curious to get y'all's opinion as to why Philip Fulmer is having to retire all of a sudden after all that he has done. What's y'all's thought on that? I appreciate it, and I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, thanks, Dwayne. Rob, I thought that was answered today.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's, you know, any big, I don't think Phil's fallen on the sword or anything like that. I mean, I think Chancellor Plowman and President Boyd went out of their way to, you know, kind of make sure that none of the dirt for this investigation, you know, stuck to him. And I mean, I just think it's what Philip said. I mean, it's any football coach that you hire here is going to want to know who his athletic director is going to be in 5 years, assuming he's here in 5 years. That would be an accomplishment for this place at this point. But nobody, any head coach in any sport hates the notion of working for someone other than the guy that hired him. And I kind of took that at face value.
I did too. All right, when we come back, we'll have more with Rob Lewis. I'm Jimmy Himes with Vince Ferrar, Sports Talk 99.1, The Sports Animal.
From the Budweiser studios of The Sports Animal.
Just a bit outside.
We are 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes with Vince Ferrar. We're joined by Rob Lewis of AllQuest.com. Before we go back to the phones, Rob, I got a question for you. So John Fulkerson against Vanderbilt had a plus 33 plus-minus ratio, which is outstanding. Jaden Springer, who I thought played a tremendous game, had a plus-minus of 3. So do you think the plus-minus is overrated? Do you think it's a good barometer? Do you think there are exceptions to analyzing the plus-minus?
Yeah, Jay, I mean, I think it's a neat little tool, but a better one, or maybe not a better one, but I like to see, you know, it so much depends on the combination of guys that you're playing with. And so I don't think it's a catch-all to describe how well someone played at all, especially, you know, the way the basketball ebbs and flows. I mean, I think you could, on the face of it, you can look and say the plus 33 for Fulkerson, you know, tells you how effective Tennessee is. He's on the floor. But, I, you know, by the same token, I don't think that, you know, Jaden's plus-minus total in that game is reflective of what he did. I mean, for instance, you know, and I don't mean to throw the young man under the bus, but E.J. Anasicki played 6 minutes and was minus 8 in that time. I mean, how much – I'd like to know how many minutes did Jaden play with Anasicki while Fulkerson was on the bench? You see what I mean?
Sure.
By that token. So, I mean, I think that who you're on the floor with impacts it. But, I mean, you can't – the plus 33 kind of speaks for itself.
Yeah, I thought it was a good sign, but I also don't think that you can look – because I thought Springer was the second-best player on the court, and he had a plus 3. So I thought, okay, that's not very positive for him. So I guess I don't look at that number and say that's a be-all, end-all tool. So,
yeah. Yes, I agree. And Keon was plus 22 in 21 minutes.
Yeah, and he was outstanding. He played really well, too. Okay, let's go to Mark. Mark, you're on with Rob Lewis.
Yeah, I had a question about the coach of you know, some options there. Trent Dilfer, I know you guys may be familiar with him. He's been with ESPN forever and won a Super Bowl and did some very cool things in Nashville. Sounds like he's become a Nashville or a Tennessean. And I was just curious if somebody would take a chance on somebody like that, go that far down. I mean, he's part of this elite 11 quarterback camp. And I've heard him on ESPN and on Fox, and he's brilliant. And he's right in our backyard. Now, he's only coached high school football, but I was just curious about that.
That would rule him out for me. And I'm not going to dispute anything you said. We've had him on our show. I think he's very smart. He was an NFL quarterback. He was on our team, won a Super Bowl. But I think you've got to have some college experience. Better yet, head coaching experience. Better yet, to be around the SEC. Mark, I think that would be a very, very long shot. I would not go in that direction.
Yeah, I think head coaching experience.
He is a great coach, by the way. I mean, granted, it's high school, but what he's done there is pretty remarkable. And I don't know. I listen to him all the time, and he understands this game better than most people that I hear on the air.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
I could see somebody. I could see somebody hiring him as a position coach at the college level,
yeah.
But I don't. I'm with you. I would call that an extreme long shot. I think Tennessee will be hiring someone with college coaching experience.
Let's go to Mike. Mike, you're on with Rob Lewis.
Hey, guys. Can you characterize for me and your understanding what one or two of the Category 1 violations and one or two of what might be the Category 2 violations that Tennessee might have created?
Rob, you want that one?
Well, I mean, there's just no details out there about it right now. I mean, we've all, I'm sure, Jenny, like you, I've heard rumors, but, you know, without, I wouldn't be comfortable just throwing out, you know, something that I have, you know, that has not been confirmed. But,
well, Mike, in general, a level one would be you just directly pay a player or his family money to get him to go to your school. That's a level one, all right?
Are there any other level ones?
Yeah, I mean, there's a pretty – academic fraud is a level one. Mm-hmm. Lack of institutional control is a level one. It's a pretty broad umbrella. I looked it up today, and the language is something like individual, unethical, or dishonest conduct, you know, regardless of whether – recruiting or academic fraud. So, man, I think it's a pretty wide lane that they could go in. But I think the most common or the one that immediately jumps to mind is your impermissible benefits in recruiting.
Yeah.
Okay. Are level twos generally categorized as something that could be inadvertent?
I think that inadvertent would fall more of like a level three type thing. Level two, I think, is more about impermissible contact, probably, you know, whether, you know, on visits or you know, talking, you know, bringing a kid on campus through a dead period, something of that nation. And it's usually in recruiting, but it's, you know, falls well below the actually, you know, just straight financial stuff.
Okay. The only things mentioned, as I recall, in today's press conference by the legal team that is doing investigation were level ones and level twos. I don't recall a mention of level threes. So it sounds like we've committed to the side of the worst types of violations. Am I correct?
I thought Chancellor Salmon made that pretty clear in both her tone and the fact that, Jimmy, in response to your question, she made it plain that Jeremy Pruitt was fired with calls and would not be receiving even a negotiated buyout, that Tennessee was off the hook for $13 million because of what took place under his watch.
Yeah, and one of the words she used was stunning, and then another word was shocking, the number of people involved in the incidents that were there.
Well, it's indeed a dark day.
It is.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was really impressed with Chancellor Plowman today, Jimmy.
I was too.
I mean, the way she handled her business. I mean, I thought that showed some strong leadership from the top.
I did too, very much so. Your thoughts on Tennessee taking on Florida? I know you asked Rick Barnes about using that smaller lineup, but your thoughts on the lineup and about Florida?
I like the smaller lineup a lot. I mean, I think you can get away with it against most teams, and I mean, they could be, and I like it especially when they leave Pons on the floor and take Fulkerson off. I mean, they're crazy athletic in that look, and it does, you know, it doesn't hurt you defensively, because when you're talking about interior defense, they're going to be 6'6", Pons is the better guy, you know, your rim protector, and whether you're playing Keon or Josiah at the four, I don't think it really matters, and I think, you know, those guys are both 6'5", 6'6", can jump out of the gym. You know, unless you're talking about a skilled 6'10 guy, and there aren't a lot of those around, then they can hold up defensively. And, you know, the way Rick, with the play that Rick has gotten out of Kamwa and Anasicki, I think there's a good chance you start seeing that lineup a lot more. He went with it for extensive portions of the second half against Vandy, and obviously, you know, to good effect. And Florida, I know that, you know, Scotty Barnes has missed some time, and that really hurt him. Sophomore, really good player. But to me, they've been a big disappointment. You know, 2-2 in the league.
got just ran out of their own building by Kentucky, a Kentucky team that, wow. I mean, just I don't know what to say after the week that they just had. You get blown out at home by Alabama and then giving Auburn their first SEC win of the year. But I'll be surprised if Tennessee doesn't take care of business against Florida tomorrow night. I really think Tennessee defensively will give them a lot of problems.
I agree. Hey, Rob, thank you so much. I always appreciate you joining us. We look forward to you joining us again next week.
Thanks, Jimmy. Enjoyed it.
Okay, thanks. Rob Lewis, VolQuest.com.